This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, what's up? It's that time of the week. Once again, it's that time of a Thursday where we get to say hello to you. This is the weekly mashup with myself, Dumisha Masha, and of course, my lovely, effervescent, bubbly, beautiful companion, Candice Mama.
You know what? I love that your vocabulary since we started the show has really radically increased.
Is it? My vocabulary has always been pretty good. I just want to add that. It's just that I'm using it more. I'm allowing myself to shine. My light must go out there. Because I realized that in my not shining, it doesn't help you.
It doesn't help the world, apparently.
The whole world. So just for you as my co-star, I just want you to know that you are also allowed to be brilliant, as
I am brilliant. I love that you're quoting Marianne Williamson.
Was that a Marianne Williamson?
Oh, you didn't
that
know.
All out, you know?
You like, just made it up as you were.
As right now, it's as like, we spoke.
You know what's funny? Mm-hmm. I almost fell into that trap of claiming other people's literature as my own because I just couldn't understand how people that weren't familiar with this particular quote that I put on my status. Yeah. And it was the Thabo Mbeki one. I'm an African.
Really?
And I put like, I am an African. You know, I owe my being to the glades and the valleys.
Wow.
And people,
the whole thing. Like, yeah, that's so clever.
No.
It wasn't even like,
and I quoted just like a paragraph that I really liked, and people were like, "Wow, poetic genius!"
Yes.
Wow, and I'm like looking at these, I'm like, "Where were you?" Like, I wasn't even really comprehension age when Thabo Mbeki said the speech.
I think maybe it's your generation.
No. It was older folks that commented. It was older folks.
Wow, that's sad.
You know, my Facebook demographic is my older folks. They support my work.
It's old white guys who are just stalking me, hoping that. I'm just putting it out there.
It's the new South Africa. What can we do?
They're looking for a piece of chocolate.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. No. So what have you been up to this past week?
Okay. So this week, I've actually been, I don't know if you've noticed, you have because you comment. Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been doing like this tips on how just to be a more productive and happy person.
All right.
And this week's one was actually, well, no, yesterday's one was actually to just laugh, even if it's not funny.
Okay, I didn't see that one.
Okay, you know what it is?
I hope you
and
don't
this one
to
I
me.
Stole. No. Can I tell you where I got this from? Okay. I stole it from Steve Harvey. He was like, this is what he does. Even if things aren't funny, even if he's, you know, in a bad space, he'll just crack up. So this is what he does. He'll literally just be like, ah! You see, like I do. Laughing, right? Now I don't even know if you'd really laugh. Stop it. Now I'm like, you messed me up because I wasn't sure.
No, actually, I'm just doing that. It's a serious thing. It's actually a real thing.
What?
Yeah.
You got me.
No, it's a real thing, though. It's a real thing.
It's called laughter therapy.
Yeah, there's laughter therapy. I tried it the other day. We were out in Howick, the Midlands.
Oh, what?
And
look at you. You've become so bougie.
I know. I was traveling. The only black people there, you know. It's like,
as you would
take
be.
Take me to a hotel where there are very few black people, preferably none.
I want to stand out.
Yes, I want to
I
stand out.
I came so far to stand out.
Yes, exactly. And there was someone there, and then we had a fire side storytelling session.
Oh,
you know,
what?
It was like really dope,
those.
Man.
I
you
love
know,
those.
Everyone got involved. I told a couple of stories myself. And someone was like, you know, laugh therapy, which I've done before,
is
really powerful. You know, you just start laughing
yes.
and you will start to feel better.
Yes.
So your mind does not know whether you're laughing for real or you're faking it. What your mind knows is that you are laughing. And it immediately, your brain sends out certain chemicals to the rest of your brain and your body to make you relax. So if you've got anxiety, if you're worried about something, just laugh it off. In fact, try this. Next time you're in traffic and someone cuts in front of you or does something crazy that makes you really angry, start laughing.
Mm-hmm.
See how quickly you'll get over yourself.
Mm. And it's actually scientifically proven that the neurotransmitters related to laughing, actually it releases endorphins in your brain. So what happens is when you fake laughing, you actually start really, like what happened now.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I just started, exactly. I really started laughing because I was
guy.
Like.
And you feel better.
You feel so much better.
Yes.
And then you think to yourself, I'm such an idiot, and which makes you laugh even more, right?
There you go. There
and
you
actually,
go.
I actually did that practically the other day. So this is the worst situation where you should be laughing at yourself. But I was, okay, so I went through a breakup, as you know.
Again?
No,
I didn't know you were involved.
The other one. No, the other
one. The old one.
Yeah, the last this one. Oh, the last this one.
That's months ago, by the way.
Yeah, it was like months ago.
She's gone through the process. She's grieved. She's mourned. Yeah, she's angry. Like, she's gone over it.
Denial.
Yeah.
No, so when I was going through that, right? So, like, you know what you do when you're going through a breakup, right? You play every sad song you can find, every Luther, every Alicia Keys. Yeah. Where do broken hearts go?
Where do broken hearts go? Do they find their way home?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So then I was doing that, right? So I was playing myself sad songs and I was crying. So, like, I let this teardrop, like, hit the other eye.
Wow.
And then I started laughing because I was like, you think you're in a music video.
Wow.
And then I started really laughing. And then I looked like a bipolar freak because my brother walked into the room and he's like, this child is bipolar.
Yeah. She's losing it. She's going to slit her wrist next. Next, she's going to say, we must be on suicide alert. Suicide watch.
This is the denial. This is the denial phase. This is the denial. And actually, I felt so much better afterwards because I was just like, you're such an idiot.
I just want to say, like, I'm just telling you as a co-host, but I'm saying it to every listener
now.
Please don't commit suicide. It's just so boring. It's like, I can't really come to your funeral because I've got that policy, you know, about not coming to people's funerals if they commit suicide.
Oh,
and I can't really grieve, but I'm kind of sad because you're not there. But I'm like, but why did you do it?
You know what? There's always a way out.
You know? And then the insurance doesn't pay out, which is worse because here we are trying to bury you with some dignity with a nice box and we can't even do that. I mean, it's just sad. And then we look like idiots, like chumps, because this was unexpected. Who has 50,000 lying around just to bury? Don't do it.
Look, it's always scarier than you think, you know.
It's,
I mean,
hella scary and painful. Life. Don't even take drugs to do it. I mean, I know people who like take medication, right, and they think you're just gonna pass out and then they won't know. No, you're gonna wake up with a really sore stomach and then you're gonna go to hospital and they're gonna have to pump that stuff out of you.
Shit.
Either they're gonna have to use a laxative, so you're gonna have to shit yourself in the ER. Shit yourself. Imagine how unglamorous that is.
Wow.
Or
okay.
They're gonna put a tube in your mouth all the way to your stomach and suck that stuff out. That is not cool.
I feel like you just came across as very insensitive to people in a depressed state.
Yeah. No, I'm not insensitive to people who are depressed.
It's suicidal.
Just people who are
suicidal. You know what? I think like with suicide.
Get over yourself.
No. I mean, there's always a brighter day. And I think at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, you're in a state. All of us have been in a situation where you're like, fuck, I fucked up. Like, this is some crazy shit. But never once have I been like, no, now it's time to go.
Yeah.
I'm going back to Jesus.
You know what?
I'm like, you know what? I'll just figure it out as I go.
Yeah.
Like, let's
I've
just
had
see.
Situations where it's actually been my fault. I'm not even saying someone falsely accused me or something happened. It was out of my control.
You went in eyes wide open.
I went in. I made the choice to mess up my life. And you know, that's the worst one.
That's the worst.
Because you know.
You can't blame someone, right? You can't even blame Jesus.
No.
Usually you'd be like, God, why would you put me in this? No, you can't even blame God.
Like, but I told you, God.
I told you. Like, even when you were driving, there were like 10 stops. Don't do it. Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
And you feel really down on yourself. And all you got to do is just realize that actually, you know what? This too shall pass.
Yeah.
You have to think of everything that's going on in your life. Like, the worst thing is, in 5 years' time,
this won't matter.
Well, how much will this matter?
Mm.
How much will this really affect my day to day? And a lot of the times, I think that men and women commit suicide for different reasons.
Okay.
Men usually commit suicide because of financial issues.
Yeah.
Like, I am in so much financial trouble, I'll never get out of it. So,
yeah, I lost so much money.
Let me just commit suicide.
Oh, no, but sometimes it's secrecy as well. So it's finance mixed with secrecy. So
I didn't tell
my wife that I banked all our money in the stupid trust that ended up, you know, going bankrupt and blah, blah, blah.
Or I put it in my side chick's account because I didn't want her to know that I was
making
all this
money. And then the side chick went for on the run with my money.
Now in Brazil with her side guy with our money.
Well, now our kids can't go to college because
our
my side chick's
can't
gone.
Get dinner. And I don't know where to start.
Yes. So that's what it is. So
in the meantime, I also had a gambling problem to try and get it back. And I took
the rest
of the money, and I took out a loan with loan sharks of $5 million, and I lost that as well.
Oh my god.
So now
god.
We're really in trouble. I don't know what to tell you.
And
so
now the only way, I'm just gonna go.
So
that when you find out, you can't even be mad. You're grieving and mad.
You're grieving and mad
and broke.
They're taking the house.
Yes.
And the cars.
Yes.
And the kids' duvet from under you. No, come on, guys.
Oh gosh.
Grow
I can't
up.
Even.
Like, come
I
on,
can't
man
even.
Up. Man up, nigga.
And then why do women?
Why do women? I don't know, really.
Actually, I'm not 100% sure. I think women is probably more from an emotional standpoint. I think women are more resilient when it comes to financial matters. I think for us, it's more emotional. Like, yeah. I mean, I've seen women lose their damn minds over a relationship.
It's always like, about a guy, isn't it?
Like, I mean, I've lost my mind for friends.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the worst part about women. Like, we transmit our emotions to our friends.
Yeah.
So if I go to my friends and I'm like, oh my God, he left me for Susan. That's where Susan. My friend won't be like, "Oh, friend, you know, let's just reason this out because there's a reasonable explanation to what's going on that you have not seen." Your friends are like, "We about to go.
Yeah.
Who's got petrol? Which car's got petrol?"
You know, friends, you are usually emotionally unavailable. I mean, I watched the whole thing, and you yourself have said many times that when he was with you, sometimes you'd say you're not sure if you really love him and stuff, and now he's run off with Susan.
Your friend never brings up those kinds.
No. It's like we don't need that right now. What we need to do is go find Susan.
This
and
is what we discuss at the back of a police van. Now, when we're getting arrested,
right now we're gonna go smash his stuff. We're gonna go smash and
right
burn.
Right now, we are going. There's a thin line between love and hate. We are gonna set fire to his car.
Yeah. Last week you did kind of say that you wanted to break up with him too.
He blindsided me. That is not the point. He blindsided me. And you know what? There's always the one friend who will hold out more than the rest.
Yeah.
Like, he'll try and be the reasonable party. Yeah. Because I'm usually that friend. Okay. I'll try and hold out.
They will shut you down.
No, they won't even shut you down. What? They'll be like, they'll listen and nod and then be like, you know what? You've got a point. But if that happens to you, Cans.
Yeah.
Like, No. Listen. All I'm saying is that time that guy, remember that guy? Yes. Him. When he broke up with you, remember what we thought we were going to do.
Exactly.
And I'm like, but we didn't.
And then
but the fact that we thought about it.
And you're not, now you're not, now,
now
you want to
And now,
you
and now you're on a high horse.
Now you choose to
Now
be
you're on
reasonable.
A high horse? Yeah. Okay, go get your parked horse and leave.
Go.
you're like,
okay.
You know what,
I just want to be in the group.
No, we're not that crazy. But yes, that's why women generally tend to lose their minds.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen perfectly sane woman just do some crazy shit over love.
Yeah,
I mean, Angela Bassett, in There's a Thin Line Between Love and Hate, she had a good life, she had a good mental state, yet she stole Bernie's car.
That was Waiting to Exhale.
And then Whitney came
but
over.
Here's the thing, right? There was a group of women.
If
it was just by herself, she probably would have thought about it, like, this is a bad idea. It's like,
No, I'm just gonna go to jail for this.
It's called do they call it? It's actually,
we go crazier alone than we do with our friends. We need our friends to come stabilize the crazy.
Really?
Because your crazy ass is already in prison. You're like, you know what, I'm willing to do time.
Wow.
Like, I'm actually willing to do time.
Wow,
prison orange is not even a bad color. Like, you know what? I can eat Samp all day, every day. I'm fine. As long as he's going down with me. Like, we both gonna be unhappy. You're not about to go be unhappy without me.
Okay.
We are both gonna be unhappy.
As long as you're unhappy, I can be unhappy too.
Yeah, no, we both gotta, you're not gonna be happy. You're not leaving me and then going to be a happy dude out there.
Why not just get happy yourself? Why not beat him to the happy punch?
No.
Be happy first. So that what happens is, just as he thinks that he has now become happier than you, you are happier than that.
No, but you know what I hate about men?
What?
And this is all men out there. It's like that you guys have a detector for happiness. So once we've left you and we've gone through our grieving and our sadness and our anger, and we've already thought about torching your car in a million different ways, and we've thought about what you love and how we can break it, then we're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to grieve, I'm going to cry, I'm going to play Toni Braxton, but I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Then you guys leave us. You guys will leave us for months. Shit, some of you will leave us for years.
As soon
as you feel like there's a tingling sensation, like a spider sense, oh my God, she seems happy. Next thing, hey girl.
Just been thinking about you.
And you're like, new phone, who this? Then they're going to be like, oh my God, you know, I've never stopped thinking about you. I was just in a bad space in my life. They don't want to drag you back into that bullshit.
Oh,
then you're like, no, nigga.
Satan,
not today.
Thank you.
Not today, Satan. Get behind me.
Thanks for that. Because, you know, I've also been thinking lately. Like, how can I get... Like, I've been thinking, you know, I've been planning. How can I get the best kind of revenge on my ex? And that one sounds like the best one. Least likely to get me in jail. And you know what? Just call out of the blue, right? And I must be in a good place as well. Like, oh, hey, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just calling from the JAG and... This is I don't know how this works. And here you are. I was in Cape Town. I was going to go look at some property. I just bought something beachside, Clifton. Anyway, I just want to check how you were. I mean, since I called, you seem like you're doing all right. I miss you.
You know what you guys trump on? There's the woman mindset where we always want to be the bigger person. So even when we're going through a thing, we're like, you know what? I'm going to be the bigger person. I'm not going to let him know that he's actually affecting me right now. So we're going to start agreeing to shit that we wouldn't agree to in a normal state of
Give
mind.
Give me more.
So, no. So we'll say
this
stuff.
Is gold, guys.
We'll say things like, you know, you'll call us after a year. But now we don't want to be like, you know what? You just tripped me up on my path to happiness.
You
want to be like, I'm good. I'm still good, nigga. You're not about to interrupt my happiness. No.
Okay.
So then you'll say things like, he's going to recommend, like, you know what? We should actually just grab a coffee, like, you know, just to see how it's going.
Oh, you,
then,
the woman then, recommends.
No, the guy. Because I'm never going to recommend to go into Satan's den just willing.
Okay,
I'm a sheep.
So Satan himself is recommended.
Yes. So Satan needs to recommend it and be like, maybe we should just grab coffee, you know, and just catch up because it's been so long. And we've both, they'll always throw in some rubbish compliment. We've both grown up so much.
I just want to show you. You're looking so good.
There's nothing about a smart guy is never going to compliment you and show you that he wants what he wants. He's going to say things like, you know what? I think now we can be friends. I mean, I really miss your companionship. So then next thing you go, Boo Boo the Clown, and you go there, and deep down you're still like, I'm gonna look good. I'm gonna look the best I ever look. Even book a hair appointment, nail appointment, get a dress. You're like, I'm gonna shut it down, and you don't even know you're doing this. You don't even know you're doing this. That's what makes you mad. And you're like, you pitch up, then Satan's got his game plan.
He just doesn't pitch up, right?
No, he pitches up.
Oh, okay.
No, he's never gonna let you go on and be happy and know that he's an asshole.
Right, yeah.
No, he's gonna pitch up.
What do you do? What do you do now?
He's gonna change.
Tell Satan what
he's gonna
do.
No, he's So this is what most men do. I don't know what you want to do, Satan. But what they do is they become the person you actually wanted them to be when you were dating. So now all of a sudden they've got great memory. They'll be like, oh my God, you really like the guy who listens. So all of a sudden that's all they're doing. They're just listening. They're nodding. They're like, they're even picking up on social cues. They're like, oh my gosh, no, but earlier you said this. So is that similar? And next thing you're like, oh my gosh, I like this dude. He's changed. He's grown up so much. Like, wow, he's actually not that bad looking.
You know what I heard in church the other day? Was that thing.
And then next thing you're like, you let your guards down, right? Because it's going to be like a 3 week, 4 week, even months. These niggas are persistent. They'll leave you for months.
And
they'll just be good guys. They're not going to be pushy. They're just going to keep being like, just checking in on you. Hope you're having a good day. Cheers. They'll never tell you about someone they're seeing.
No,
they're just
of course not.
Silent. Silent. Next thing you know, they're going to be like, do you want to try this thing again? And you're going to be like, oh, but friends, he's changed, eh? I know we wanted to switch his car, but that was in 2010. Guys, it's 2017. We need to let it go.
It's like 2011 now, you know. I mean,
2012, you know, 2 years, even some of them.
It seems like 6 months.
You're right. 3 weeks. He's changed. He's changed. Next thing you know, he changes for the first month of the relationship. When he sees you getting comfortable, he goes back to the devil he was.
Yeah, and but this time it's worse. God.
It's even worse. Because what makes it worse?
What?
It's because now you feel like a damn fool. By him falling into this trap.
You fool me once, shame on you. You fool me twice, shame on me.
I can't even go jump off a bridge and pretend like y'all are going to feel sorry for me.
I was going to be there.
All your friends are going to be like, guys, I know. We only had one torture.
I have an appointment today. It's a facial. I can't move. I'm sorry.
You should see my skin, friend. It broke out. Yeah. It broke out so strong, even.
That time I'm whitening my teeth.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh, guys! You know how long it takes to blow dry my hair. I've already set the appointment. Like mentally, I'm already there. Oh my gosh, yeah. So that's what's happening.
Okay. Well, you know what? If all else fails, there's always wine. Unfortunately,
I think that's a woman's best friend. But through breakups and all,
women and everybody, man, just get to know a good wine. Getting to know a good wine. Morara, Wamoraro. We've got a guest in the studio, Kenny.
Yes.
Introducing.
Ntlanta Kule, how are you?
Hey, wow. I'm good.
I'm so sorry, Ntlanta. The way she said it was so.
What?
Ntlanta, I don't know. I mean,
what?
I'm trying to work
I
on her
Ntlanta.
Black.
No, didn't was, I say? Did I say wrong, girl?
It was kind of odd, but you know, I'm not trying to diss you. I'm not trying to make
I'm
you feel bad
judged.
About that. I'm not.
All my
saying that your blackness is less than mine.
I feel like you are.
No.
I feel like you throw me into the xenophobic fire.
Xenophobic. Like, now he's calling out words. Like you couldn't say Ntlanta, but you can say xenophobic. Oh, great. Yeah. You're throwing yourself in the fire.
Wow. Get back to our guest.
Yes. Ntlanta, I know that the wine has got the name of the wine. It means something. Because, you know, it's a black name. All black names mean something. Okay. What does it mean?
So, morara is an Ndebele word meaning grapes, just means grapes.
Oh, okay.
And wa moraro is of joy. It's grapes of joy, but we've put a spin to the of joy and turned it into the joy.
Oh.
So it's about those joyous moments, you know, those
when you want to celebrate, when you want to commiserate,
yes,
when you want to
no, but also like
regenerate.
when you have been through so much, like you know, you've been through so much, about like that moment of relief. You know, when you,
that
before
first
you break
your
wrist, just get some wamoraro.
Get some wine.
No. Like, but that moment of achievement, like when you have really.
When you've been hustling.
Yes.
When you've been hustling. Okay, but you know what? I didn't even know your background was wine. I've known you for some time. Has that always been your thing?
It has not.
What were you doing before?
When I got onto Morara, right? Mm. It was basically they were rebranding. So that was that was my focus then. Mm. I fell in love with the brand. I fell in love with the product, and I decided to invest.
Okay.
So this is quite new to me. Very new.
All right.
To me.
But tell us just briefly, like your past life, your former life. What have you been up to? You know, where did you go to school?
The path that brought you to this point.
The path that brought you here to our studio.
Okay. I studied marketing at the AAA School of Advertising. Mm-hmm. After that, I've been in media. I worked in media for a couple of years under magazines.
Yeah.
So, yes.
One of them was you were at Black for a while, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Ah, yes. And what other magazines were you part of?
I started out at Avusa. It's Times Media now.
Mm-hmm.
It was then called Avusa. So I worked under Stuff Magazine there. I worked under SA Home Owner. I worked under Elle Magazine. Yes, and that was before moving to Black.
At these magazines?
Marketing.
Oh, okay. So you were selling the magazines, basically.
Yeah.
And you know, because I've noticed that it's just me. It's anecdotal research.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the magazine industry in South Africa is taking a bit of a knock, but it's starting to come back up again. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. I think so, too. I think with actually a lot of... Actually, Ndalo Media is doing... very well, I think. With them taking on Elle and it being seeing more Black people on the Elle covers and the glamour covers is. Yeah,
you think that's what's been missing for a long time from our magazines? That people are just like, why should I buy it? You know, I mean, let's be honest, for the longest time, we weren't seeing Black people on magazine covers. And when we did, it just seemed like it was more a big statement than just supposed to be like it's normal.
Also, you want to buy something that you can relate to, something that tells your story.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't want to buy a magazine and get, most of the times, even when we get samples from magazines, it's
it doesn't even match our skin tone,
our skin color. And you're like, you know, it's not.
It's like they get an African American.
Yes,
not even African American. You wish. it's like pale. And you're like. Yeah, no, I'm not using this Maybelline sample.
I see those kind of
different.
Samples. My bad,
Yeah. So it's really nice to buy a magazine and be able to like read a story and relate, you know?
Okay. And now you've like left the magazine trade completely. You're now a marketer in the wine industry.
Yes.
Ah, so are you guys based in Stellenbosch, the wine route, or do you just like kind of make it in
Yes,
the
we're
bar?
Made.
The ball. You.
I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know.
So yeah, we're made in Stellenbosch by Taylor Family Wines.
Nice.
And Morara is based this side. So we're produced in Stellenbosch and we're based this side. We ship this
Have
side.
You always been a wine drinker? A wine bibber?
I have.
Okay.
And has wine gotten you through
a
lot of
moments? I remember that party, man. I was like, maybe you had too much wine.
I
didn't know that
myself.
You were doing research.
No, I wouldn't call myself a connoisseur, but like I have been drinking wine for a while, you know, like those rosés, nyana.
Oh, the sweet ones. Oh, the satas. You know, young Black women always start with my sister drank four cousins for the longest time.
Oh,
and it was embarrassing to me.
Four cousins is like, it's like bapsak.
You know what I mean?
It's like, It is like the, like that is your high school budget drinking. Yeah. Like that it's is like we're all other, putting in money to.
It's like that other brand that comes in a box, right? Yeah. Exactly, like a 3 liter, exactly. 5 liter. Yeah.
No, but you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. You got to acquire it somewhere because it's an acquired taste.
But that's the thing with wine. So I wanted to say, like, certain wines actually give me heartburn, right?
Like red wine gives me heartburn.
No, I actually love red wine.
Really?
But I've realized that, and I don't know why this, the more expensive the red wine, I don't know if it's like, and I don't want to put it on the fact that it's pricier, like Rupert and Rothschild, for example. It doesn't give me heartburn. Really? So then I was just like, it must be a subconscious thing where my my bougie ass taste buds are like, the more expensive, the less heartburn you get. You're not paying for a side of heartburn.
I've had some heartburn on like a 700 rand bottle.
Really?
That was even more painful.
That's more painful. <'Cause> like, I'm like, are you sure that's heartburn or heartbreak?
Yeah.
That is a combo.
But you know, when you say that, like there was a time when that kind of wine, like a Rupert and Rothschild, was like reasonable. It was it was your sort of starter pack red wine at some point. Yes. You know, and now it's becoming like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hello. Like at restaurants and things like that. I mean, your guys' wine is it well priced? Is it you know, value for money?
Yes, it is. We're 130 rand a bottle, so it's not much.
Okay. Really. And who are you really targeting this brand to?
Mass.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's for weddings. Traditionals.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. No, it's cool though. But it's a good wine at the end of the day, right? What makes it such a great wine though?
Okay, so our Chardonnay is 2014, dated 2014. So it's we're kind of on the verge of being a vintage wine.
Okay.
So yeah.
Oh, what does that mean?
Yeah. Yes, I wanted to say.
After how many years?
Like years, yeah. And what makes it not get nasty over time?
You have to lay it on its side.
I'm saying, like, you know, if you're keeping it for that long, so 2014, for example, does it change the taste of the wine if it's been bottled for that long?
Yeah, you start to taste the fruit that's being used in the wine. So you'll realize that, like, when you drink maybe 2017 wine, it's, if you maybe drink a Shiraz, it's going to taste more bitter than a Shiraz that you've bought a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So yeah.
So what year is it when it becomes vintage?
How many years back?
Because we want to know. We're going to have these conversations now when we take people
and
to restaurants.
And because it's summer.
You know what I mean?
Summer's coming up.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, darling, this is a very good vintage. 2014 was a good year.
Yeah.
Ah, can you smell that terroir?
Can you smell the strawberry? Strawberry and grapefruit.
Guys, I'm giving you free stuff here. Okay.
Today's show has been very informative.
Yeah,
for you guys,
it has been. Yeah. I'm helping you guys out there.
Okay. So anything after 2 years?
2 years.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's not too bad. Mm. So, okay. So, what makes? Because I know certain wines over a period of time actually start to taste worse. You know,
yeah. Like, when is it like?
When
you've
is it
kept
like?
It dangerously
so it's
2 years,
but then like, if it's like 1981 wine, like, is that a bit too long to have kept the bottle? You should just keep.
And
it
I'll
closed.
Tell you why. I think that's a good question. Yeah. I've got a friend, they're a couple.
Yeah.
They don't really drink, right? Mm-hmm. But they collect these wines, and they're not like the wine, like the good wines. They're kind of on the cheaper side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just keep them in their garage for the longest time. Because I'm always like, but why do you just keep stuff in your garage?
Because they're waiting for them to become vintage.
You know what I mean? And I want to know. Mm-hmm. After how many years should they really just say, you know what, we're just going to throw this out in the garden and
or
water
just
the plants.
Decorate my, like, you know, my wine cellar.
But then someone goes in there and steals a bottle and it's a bad idea.
I was actually chilling with my partner in this.
Yes.
And he showed me a bottle of wine that he had. I forgot the brand. Mm-hmm. He showed me a bottle of wine that he's kept since 1990.
Ooh, that's before I was born.
It's still sealed.
Damn. Okay. Is he planning on opening it?
I hope we do soon.
Hopefully it's that kind of wine though, and he's kept it properly. Because I mean, there are some wines, like there is a 1981 vintage Bordeaux or something that they'll open.
No, but I get that. But I'm saying, like, the taste wise, like, for me, I'm like, it's all good to keep wine forever, but how does it taste? Is it getting fruit? Is it going to be a sweet? Is it going to taste like water? Is it just going to taste like grapes? Is it going to taste like vinegar?
It like
gets
the wine.
Sweeter.
Mm, gets
sweeter. It gets sweeter.
Really?
With time, yeah.
Wow.
But not all wines. Don't just do it with your, like,
four cousins.
Yeah, don't do
I almost added an additional cousin there.
That's something else.
It also depends on whether you've opened the bottle or not. I mean,
definitely.
If, yeah,
yeah, it's so got to be
sealed. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you've got to keep it on
its
side.
It way longer, yeah.
Because otherwise, the cork if it's not moist, starts getting air and cracks.
Oh, really?
If there's air that goes into the wine, it's over for it. It becomes vinegar.
Okay, but what are, like, you know, everyone wants to pretend like they're these bougie drinkers. Like, none of us will be like, ooh, I just like a cider. Now, all of a sudden, they're gourmet ciders. You know, they're what are they called? They craft beers. And they taste just as terrible as normal beer.
No, they don't.
No, they
you
do.
You know not what she's
they
saying.
They do. They
forgive
do.
Her, Father. You know not what she says.
You know.
I know. I know because I'm a connoisseur of beer. And okay. I can tell you that there's some craft beers out there that will have you speaking in tongues.
No, I have a friend who drinks craft beer, and whenever we go out,
like beer,
he'll like order, and then I'll always taste thinking that, you know, today's the day, and every time I'm like, it tastes disgusting. It absolutely tastes disgusting.
Like some people
I don't like
share
beer.
The same sentiments.
So then, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, with wine, it's an acquired, you know,
all of,
taste.
All alcohol is an acquired
exactly.
taste. Nobody ever sipped alcohol the first day and went, ooh, yeah, I see what they've been talking about.
Yeah. If anything, you're like, what the yeah. if? There's some nasty.
Yeah, air. Why? Why do we do this, guys? Where's the Fanta?
Yes! Can Fanta just give me a bit of a buzz?
You know?
You know? But like, what I wanted to ask actually with wine, right? So when you started getting into wine, like which wines resonated with you? So you say you started with a rosé.
Yeah, and then? Started with a rosé, moved on to a Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just like what color is a Chardonnay?
It's white.
Is it white? Okay.
Okay, I'm
and
sorry.
And a Chenin Blanc is white,
yeah.
obviously.
White, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this is not for you. It's for the audience.
Yes.
Oh, you know. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, because you looked at me like I was dumb for a while.
Yeah, for a while. I was
And to be honest, sometimes I do ask for myself.
Okay.
Side note.
All right.
So a Chardonnay is a white wine.
Let's look at all the whites.
Yes, let's all start with the whites. So then you went on to a Chardonnay, which is it a sweeter? Is it a more bitter alcohol?
It's bam in the middle.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, it's bam in the middle. So it's not too, it's not bitter, it's not sweet as well.
Mm.
So yeah, it's slap bam.
So
in
how
the middle.
Come white wine you refrigerate and red wine you keep out?
Red wine just tastes better at room temperature.
Mm. Ah,
yeah.
Because I was listening.
But if it's
to,
a hot day, you can put it in the fridge.
No, because I was actually listening to Gary Vee. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He's like one of the coolest speakers out there right now. Mm. And he started out with something called Wine Library because wine is his passion. And he said that he thinks white wine should actually be kept at room temperature because you actually taste the flavors more. So I've never tried it. So
I know. I've never tried it as well. And it tastes better when it's refrigerated, I think. It tastes a bit bitter when it's like a Chardonnay when it's not refrigerated.
Yeah.
It tastes more bitter than it would taste at like when it's cold.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Look, I've tried it at room temperature.
You know what? I feel exactly. I feel like if you are trying it at room temperature, it's not because you're trying to be bougie.
Like, you know what? I need this wine. You know, it's kind of like grab it with my teeth.
You're like, I need something.
And it wasn't that good. I prefer it slightly chilled, like most white wines, like most whites.
Okay.
I prefer them chilled. They go down better that way.
Okay, but if you're recommending like a beginner wine, so let's say someone wants to get into the bougie way of drinking and they're tired of their, you know, Hansa or whatever drinks that they drink, then how would you how would you start someone? Like which brands would you recommend? Which types would you recommend? Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to repeat myself. Sorry, it's a Chardonnay. For me, I think it's my favorite. It's not heavy. It's not it's not too strong. It's
slight
like,
and fruity. Some you know? Some are wooded, some are unwooded.
But so, yeah, Chardonnay is a good start.
So from like, I'd assume that there's some sort of measuring stick, right? If you're saying a Chardonnay, slap bang in the middle. So then,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if there's Chardonnay,
take us to the sweet side of life.
Yes. So take
and then
us,
we'll come back to the
yes
to the dry
to the bitter.
No, dry.
Yes, that's
never
what they call
bitter,
it. Dry.
It's dry.
Dry.
Okay. Thank you.
Whatever. And you know what's funny? I get invited. I'm very fortunate to get invited to a lot of these food and wine pairing things, and I'm always
you
the worst one. No, because you're actually supposed to sip. You're not supposed to gulp.
You get free wine, dog. Like, get in as much as you can before they close it and make it a cash bar. Don't you
it's,
know
it's
how it works?
It's always so wasted on me. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm having these great experiences. And I only like red wine. So when it gets to like, you know, the Chenin Blanc and the person's so passionate and they're like, a Chenin Blanc, you can find it on the west side of France. And I don't know why they always have a French person. It's like it almost authenticates.
Yeah, of course it does. It makes it like, imagine they had a guy speaking in like no, I don't want to say
Total. Total.
Anyway, okay, so this is a Chenin Blanc. I want to, this kind of wine is the kind that you find on the West Coast. I want to tell them, anyway.
Just try. okay, no, we're losing. Yeah. Okay, so like we're saying, start from the sweetest. So what's the sweetest you can get when it comes to wine?
The sweetest is a sweet...
I suppose a dessert wine. I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
Would a rosé qualify?
No. Some rosés are sweet, some are not. Not all rosés are necessarily sweet.
Okay.
So there are some dessert wines, the what they call like the late harvest wines as well. Anything with late harvest on it is usually on the sweeter side of life.
Isn't late harvest like babsak?
There's a brand called Late Harvest that's a babsak.
No, it's Autumn Harvest.
Autumn Harvest. Oh,
okay. But sorry.
The later the harvest, because the grapes have ripened more, so there's more sugar in them. So they're sweeter.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's some particular brands. Viognier is also a nice Swedish wine as well, which is a good wine. Yeah. Please, Dada, jump in. Say something.
Save him. He's like,
I'm at a point where I don't want to mention other brands right now.
We're just talking about types of wine.
Just like a Chardonnay, a Merlot,
Sauvignon Blanc, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so when it comes to like, okay, because for me, reds are my favorite.
A Glühwein. A Glühwein is quite a sweet one. It's the warm wine with cinnamon and spices, and you put in some raisins and things like that in it as well.
Wow. Is that like something you make yourself? Or like
you can make it yourself, or you can buy ready made Glühwein and just like warm it up, you know?
Ooh, no.
It has
like
to be
warm it how? Like in a microwave, in a pot?
In a pot.
Oh. And then you drink it.
Got a long way to go.
No. No, it sounds like soupy to me.
Didn't you go to this
place? No, I didn't. Like for me, for me, it's like I don't understand. Like wines are very difficult for me because I know what I like. I know what resonates with me. And I went to a friend who gave me a red wine, and it was a Merlot, and it tasted really good as well.
Okay. So some Merlots taste amazing.
No, I love Merlot. I've realized that Merlot's my thing. You know, Merlot's my wine of preference, if you will.
It is an easy drinking wine. I feel like Merlot is one of those like... when you are starting in the red wine.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yes.
And what's your for you, what's your favorite red wine? What blend?
This one actually.
Which one is that?
It's a Merlot. It's a Pinotage Merlot blend.
It's a good blend. You can't really go wrong with that.
Yeah. So it's dry, but it's also a bit on the sweet side.
Oh, okay. You know?
So it doesn't taste as bitter as.
And which is the other one that you've got?
This is a Chardonnay.
Okay, because I wanted to say the bottle is very light. Because
Let me check out that Pinotage.
I'm taking the Pinotage home, just so you know, because I only drink red wine. I've been hinting this whole episode. Okay.
I find that you guys haven't like really described it in the back, because that's where you kind of get a sense of
the blends.
The blends. What are the tasting notes that I'm looking for?
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, it's got a fruitiness,
cherry, or
reminiscent of blackberries.
But you know, some of that stuff is such a lie. I went on a date with someone, right? Yeah. And then he ordered me a wine. So I'm like, okay, whatever. And he pretended to be like this great wine connoisseur dude. And he pours the, they pour the wine. And he's like, And he does that stupid, disgusting thing that people do where they're like, oh my God. First, I wanted to die. I wanted to leave. And then he says to me, can you taste the chocolate? And in my head, I'm like, I don't taste no damn chocolate. Yeah, I'm just tasting grapes.
Yeah,
grapes. Yeah. Well, and I'm like, do you ever taste those? Like,
I do.
Lies.
No, true.
Lies.
True.
Seriously?
You know what?
Oh, yeah, but I forget how much older you are than me.
Yeah.
You've been on this earth for a long time.
Sophisticated.
Mm. No, your palate is just dry now. Like,
I left Fanta years ago. I left it.
Yes. You know? Yes.
Actually, I'm at a point where
mine is still saturated.
I prefer alcoholic drinks. I prefer wine.
Oh, me too.
To like, especially with a good meal.
Yeah.
To like, you know, a cool drink.
Yes.
And I find that wine in general has got complexities and interesting things about it. All wine is different. And I do pick up certain hints. Like I will pick up a cinnamon, I will pick up a vanilla, I will pick up a chocolate, I will pick up
a woody,
all those notes. But the best way to do it, there's two things that you got to remember. One, the most important thing about drinking a good bottle of wine is have a good glass. A lot of people drink wine in terrible glasses.
Wait, and they what's terrible? Why. Like pretty looking glasses, or like is there like a particular type of glass?
There's those glasses that have
a stem.
That's a good start.
No, because now they've become bougie. They've become
some
like
don't
tumbler.
Have stems. Yeah.
No, some are wider than others.
Oh, okay.
So, especially with red wine, if you drink it in a wide at the bottom and closed up at the top,
a tulip shaped glass.
Mm. Yeah, you're able to like the taste is better.
Yeah, because also it hits your tongue in a different place. Yeah.
What?
Your tongue has certain places where you can taste sweet, you can taste salty, you can taste bitter.
Yes.
So there are certain glasses that are have got a tulip shape, but they're a little bit wider. So
yes.
You actually put them a little bit higher up in the mouth.
Oh, okay.
Which has different.
So it's not
taste.
Like a stock standard. You don't just buy those same wine glasses and you just.
And the other thing is also the rim. You know, how thick is the edge of the
is
rim?
Is it supposed to be thick or thin?
The thinner, the better.
Oh, good. So my wine glasses are great.
Yeah, because you see, the thickness of the rim also makes the wine fall in a different way on your palate.
Can you see? This is just so complex. That's why I'm a gin and tonic girl. Like, there's no, I don't need to think about my gin and tonic
With a gin and tonic, you gotta like really start. I mean, glasses are so important. People don't understand.
But I buy them because of their beauty. Like, I love beautiful wine glasses.
I like ornamental, beautiful wine glasses, but I prefer them as simple as possible.
Yes, simple and thin. Yeah.
And the other thing is, there's a difference between a red wine glass and a white wine glass.
So is a white wine glass thicker?
Okay, it's thinner.
Okay.
It's not as wide at the bottom.
So it's not like that goblet too.
Yeah.
Those cute round ones.
Yeah. So it's not as wide at the bottom.
I mean, for white.
And you'll notice that they're a bit smaller than the red ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Jeez, they're going into the birthday month. This is good. I'm like getting my wine education.
Yeah, especially because it's my birthday first.
Flip. Yours is on the 14th, eh?
Yeah.
Mine's on the 18th. Mm. 4 days.
Yeah, I know yours is on the 18th. Okay, all right.
Well, I said 14th first.
I'll bring you something from Zanzibar.
Oh my gosh. Guys, the way he's been flexing on me. Yeah. He's been flexing.
I've had this cold, you know, and it's just, I didn't like the weather. And I was like, you know what? I need to go to a summer break.
Yeah. Mm. And you like, Zanzibar's the best place to go.
Yeah, right now. I need a beach holiday.
Jeez. How I wish we could all just pack up and go and beach.
I'll drink some wine. I'll take a couple of bottles with me.
Oh, yes. Please buy.
Yes.
Buy.
People support.
All right. Okay.
Like, stop trying to be cheap, you know? Stop trying to be cheap. Like, we have to support local people, guys. And
so
you'd be willing to...
We've got a guest in the studio.
We do. We have got a musician. And Dalo, how are you?
I'm cool.
Wait, we can't hear you yet.
Oh, there you go.
Okay,
go
speak into the mic.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm cool.
So we're about to play your track. So what's your track called, Ndalo?
One Night Only.
Yeah. So when did you create this track?
Good Friday. I mean, I don't remember.
You
know, I'm always in studio.
Yeah, no.
I get you, man.
All
the time.
Sometimes I'm like that. I don't remember when I recorded that stuff. I wasn't even there. Was I sober? I don't know.
No, I'm always high.
Oh. Yeah. Wow, okay. Well, here's the track anyway. In the meantime, let's play.
Oh.
I will keep you satisfied. Sex in the morning to morning until you say, baby, damn, I need water. Shake you like Jephthah, hit you like I play soccer. I'm in the ground, round after round, I'm not lazy, I can't. Plus at the back, caravan is fat, I'm a wild cat. And like, what's the bill or a langaro? Shabazz Boja, on a stomach. Shoot you in the stomach, hope you love a fake race. In a candle, who's the winner? Baby, next to the winner, you deserve a man. Back it up and bust it up, next to me, I touch you. Baby, next, I got you, one night only. Wake up in the morning, laughing at you, holla at you. What do you think about tomorrow? This life we borrow.
All right.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. So at the moment, you are a rapper. What do you do in the meantime, though? At the moment, what are you up to? You got an interesting story. I just want the people to hear that story.
Okay.
It's a story of inspiration.
Yeah. Part time, I'm working at Northway Garage.
Okay.
For pushing my music, but yeah.
So what happened was, Ndalo bumped into Gary.
No, into Gary. Into Gary. A friend of mine, yeah.
Oh, it's your friend of yours, right? Yes. And he raps. He was at the petrol station.
Yes, yes.
He was like, dude, I rap.
Yes.
Do you know that we have a show?
No, Gary had a show. So then Gary was like, I can't actually do it on my show because okay. that's not the kind of show we do.
Okay.
And then he said, you know, you guys should have him on your show.
Oh, okay.
And yeah.
And here he is. That's a pretty dope track. What's that about?
I was high. I just read it.
Okay, that's a great way to push your music. I don't know how to come back from that.
It's very hard.
I already don't know how to come back from that. Okay, well, you know. Have you done any tracks sober?
I have more.
Okay. Where do you plan to take this whole rap thing?
I wanna get signed. I'm still busy pushing myself.
Yeah. Do you think it's a good idea to be telling people that you were high when you recorded a track though, if you're trying to still get signed?
Yeah, but it's true.
It's very important to be honest.
Yeah, honestly, I don't have to
honestly
lie.
The first priority.
Okay, so what's your song about though?
This song. I just make it for fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for ladies, you know.
Oh, so it's like a club banger.
Yeah, because I like ladies.
Oh.
Too much.
Usually that's why one gets into music, right? But oh my goodness, we're almost
like
out of time.
The intellectual conversation has dropped to an all-time low. It's cold out here in the studio.
No, but I think the show's almost done.
It is almost done. But anyway, so Chantla, thanks for coming through to the studio. It was a pleasure to have you, my dear.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for that wine lesson as well. So where can we find your wine, Morara?
At the moment, we do deliveries.
Okay.
We'll soon be available in retail.
All right. So people just call you up, or do they hit you up on social media?
Yes. We have a Facebook page.
Oh, good.
They can inbox us. And yeah, they can send a WhatsApp or call 073-787-7940.
All right.
That's but it's great. Fantastic.
And we're at Camelot Spa this Saturday. Doing wine tasting there. So yeah, please join.
People
go through.
When done, do a wine tasting.
Yeah, there. I'm like, you know,
me and like two other people.
But you know what I actually love about Ndanta's story as well. It is a black owned company, and it is, you know, we pushing.
That's why she's here.
Like exactly.
That's
and
really.
Yeah, no, and the fact that we can produce quality wine that competes with really great brands out there.
Yeah.
That's what makes me happy. And thank you so much for coming here, sharing your story, inspiring people.
Thank
and you know,
so
you can tell the quality of the wine also by the bottle. And I noticed when I carried your wine that the underside of it has got quite a deep indent.
Yes.
And that means that it's a good wine.
Yeah.
That's just one way of checking.
I'm so excited to try out the wine. I'm
I
so
can't
excited.
Wait to get later.
Okay, no. After getting high all the time and wine all the time, can we just get our conversation back to a certain
it's
level?
I think I didn't start it in a way because I was going to say, like, you know, but you know, drinking is just not good and it's like another, it's a bad drug.
No, you know what? Can
so
I
I'm
tell
on this
you?
Whole thing now.
No, no,
I'm
no,
just
no.
Not doing that
alcohol,
anymore.
I think, used in moderation, consumed
in
moderation. Yes, consumed in moderation. No.
Just kidding.
No.
Okay.
People, no.
Little bit of heroin.
This show just went to an all-time low. I'm so sorry. You came here with your classy wine and we managed to put such a terrible toast on it.
Okay,
and
tell also, us about with a little bit of,
And
also?
And also, guys, just wanted to mention, when you drink the wine, so like to both of you, when you drink the wine, please just like share your Morara moment with us. Share that ultimate
moment where it just happened.
Share the
like,
joy.
Even if it's just a one-liner on our Facebook page to say, this is my moment. So like when your daughter was born, you know,
they'll get all retrospective on you. Like I'm just remembering when my daughter was born and I'm drinking.
You know what, actually, this is so important.
No,
this is actually
the journey.
So important.
It's the journey that's important.
Oh, okay.
And you reaching that level, that point of relief and achieving.
Oh,
you know what?
Like I had such a difficult breakup, and my ex was really
Stop
taking it there.
You know what?
It's gotta
actually
be funny, Dan.
No, I think, you know, I think at the end of the day, with what the wine's doing or the messaging of it, is it's so important. We're always focusing on the terrible stuff that happens to us, right?
True.
And you will go on about it forever.
Oh my gosh.
But when good things happen, you celebrate it for a moment and you move on.
And usually by yourself.
You don't want to share
Come
it.
On now.
So exactly. So I think this is a good way of just reminding you to always look over your achievements and be like, you know what? I may not be where I want to be, but I'm a hell of a lot closer than I was.
I'm getting you a bottle of Morara. Let me not say it like
thank you.
For my birthday?
Thank
for your birthday. You
said
deserve
it so
it.
Well.
You've done well this year. You know, I'm very proud of you. You've worked hard.
Thank you, too.
And you
thank
know,
you.
Yeah. You can, you know, return the favor.
No. Guys, that was such a great show.
It was. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I don't know what I'm going to play out with, though.
Play out with something good. Play out with something fun.
Something fun.
Despacito.
Yes, I love that song. Guys, don't forget to be kind to yourself and to one another. Until next week.
Yes.
Bye.
We love you. Goodbye.
Yo.
This is CliffCentral.com.